Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. We come into your presence, not presumptuously, but by the blood of Jesus. Lord, because we understand and recognize that without you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, as we come confessing our sins and repenting of them, Lord, we ask, Lord, that indeed, as we go into the Word this morning, we go under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus and the covering of our spiritual fathers, so that this Word will come forth this morning as a living Word, that, Lord God, you will cause my mouth to be anointed like the pen of a ready writer, so that, Lord, you will cause your Word to flow out of me in simplicity, in power, in clarity, in the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, doing an eternal work in all of our hearts, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so we'll be changed from one level of glory to a higher degree of glory, having grace to be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only, so that our lives will be well pleasing and will bring forth fruit to the praise of your glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth under the covenant of our fathers, thank you for yokes that will be broken, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, causing our lives to be well-pleasing unto you in Jesus' name. Father, I also pray, Lord, for mercy to be faithful, Lord, to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things. Holy Spirit, I yield my faculties and my members over unto you. Lord, come and help me. Help me to do this assignment that you have given unto me, Lord, so that, Lord, as we share your word, out of the treasure of your word, you bring forth things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thy kingdom come, then all of your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I didn't hear that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord again. Hallelujah. Amen. It's baby. We're warming up. It's Sunday morning. The sun is out. I wonder why. We should be warmed up already. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. So it's great to be in the house of God. And it's a great honor for me yet again to bring the word of God this morning. And want to appreciate and thank our fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, for their example, for their sacrifice over decades. Amen. No, 3 decades and counting. Amen. Faithful without any stain, the purity of ministry that has allowed you and I to be able to grow spiritually to the point where God can then begin to do things in our lives, you know, that we ourselves are surprised that God is doing. We thank God for his vessels, you know, that he has used. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mommy. And our prayer is that you will see the travail of your soul in your seed and in our own lives, your spiritual seed, and you will be satisfied in Jesus' name. And that well done that God has prepared for you, you will enter into the fullness of it in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, Mommy, in Jesus' name. All right, we're now going to the Word of God. And we're in the book of Galatians. And the book of Galatians was a book. The last time we were in this book, the Holy Spirit was speaking to us and showing us that like there was in Galatia, there is a powerful wave of false teaching going on in the church. And in those days, as it were, you know, it's the same that's going on now in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that teaching really, you know, is Paul called it another gospel. And he said so because once you remove certain things from the full gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not complete anymore. It becomes another gospel. And it's not going to achieve what God ordained it to achieve. Amen. Let's look at Acts 20 in verse 30. He saw it ahead of time. You know what Pastor was talking about. He wasn't the vision. He was talking to the brethren, but he said, I've seen it, you know, by revelation. Verse 30. also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Perverse things just means things that are below standard, things that are corrupted, you know, and to draw away disciples after them. And true to type, you know, it came to pass, you know, that they were doing this, you know, and he wrote this letter to address that problem. And in this case of the church in Galatia, the problem was legalism. What is legalism? Legalism is believing law that we are justified by the actions that we do. In particular, the Mosaic sacrifices, you know, the ceremonial sacrifices of the Abrahamic law, you know, killing animals, and washing of hands, washing of feet, and saying that we are justified by doing those things and not by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, that's so he was writing a lot to correct that. That was the actual problem that existed. And we saw in our last lesson that this perverted gospel, you know, robs us. Because once you change the gospel, once you change the message, then you because the message is an instrument in the hands of God. The Bible talks about the washing of water by the word. So once you remove the active ingredient in soap, it's no longer soap. It cannot wash away the sin nature. It becomes something that you it just has a name or an appearance, but it doesn't achieve the purpose. You know, and that's what the apostle Paul was, that was the point the apostle Paul was making, that, you know, this thing that you're doing, I'm amazed that you're doing this. You know, this is not what we said, you know, and it's going to slow down your growth. That was the point he was making. You're not going to grow. And that's the problem with perverted gospel. In the church today, we have a gospel of prosperity. It's a false prosperity. Of course, God wants us to prosper. But we prosper as our soul prospers. Amen? That's the will of God. And God is going to fulfill that right before our very eyes. Even if you look in your life, you see that God's already fulfilling it. As you are growing, God is prospering you. So that the prosperity will not corrupt you like a corrupted Solomon. Because a greater than Solomon is here. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the more we grow into Christ through the full gospel, the more we are guaranteed of the true prosperity. Deuteronomy 28, where the Bible says that you will lend unto nations and you shall not borrow. Mommy prays that prayer for us regularly. And I receive it. Amen. The Bible says your going out and your coming in will be blessed. The Bible says that we will be creating wealth at a rate that is faster than we can spend. So individuals will lend to nations. God is not against prosperity, but he's against falsehood. When you preach that giving money is the condition to prosper, you give a certain offering of a certain amount of a certain day, you know, 777, $7,000 on the seventh day of the week in the seventh month. We come up with all kinds of contraptions. And it's wrong. You know, and we do it. They do it after their own selves. They bring after their own selves. So they corrupt the people of God. So the people of God are not growing. So it's an antichrist gospel in the sense that it comes in the name of Christ, but it's against the purpose of Christ. It hinders the purpose of God. What's the purpose of God? Christ in you. The hope of glory. That purpose is going to be slowed down or halted entirely because the substance that God wants you to do the cleansing has been corrupted. That's why he was very firm and was very hard. And he said that no, those that do it and those that receive those kind of gospels, they are cursed. That's a very hard word. If I didn't see it in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. He said they are cursed. He said it twice. To emphasize the fact that people that know, if you as leaders, if you dabble into these things, you are invoking the curse of God. Why? Because it's very, very serious as far as God is concerned. Galatians 3:14 tells us that no, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That's God's purpose. To bring the blessing upon us. But when you change the message so that the people cannot enter into Christ, then you are shutting them off from the blessing. And if you are shut off from blessing, automatically, what do you have? A curse. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, very quickly. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall what? Add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. That's a curse. Next verse. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of three things: the book of life, the holy city, and the things that are written in this book. So the degree to which you adulterate, you corrupt, you pervert the word of God, it is to that degree you are playing with your fulfillment of the things God has written of you in the book. You are playing with your part in the holy city. And if you push it and push it, they will remove your name out of the book of life. That's a curse. Why does God warn so severely? Because he doesn't want us to do it. God is always warning very sternly, because he doesn't want to have to do anything. So he warns very fervently. So that's what the apostle was doing. And we didn't look at this last week, but it goes in line with what we saw last week. That, you know, God's preservative to keep the church pure. The Bible says the church of God is the pillar and ground of truth. To make it difficult to corrupt or adulterate the word of God and keep it in its purity, we need to have revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is the antidote to corruption. It is God's solution to make sure that the gospel remains pure and untainted. But you see, we can only receive revelation when our motive is pure. Look at John 7, verse 17. If any man, let's read together, if any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine. What's the key here? The willingness to do the will of God. The willingness to please God will allow the will to be open, and light from the Holy Spirit will shine into your heart. That's revelation knowledge. Knowledge that comes direct from the Holy Spirit through your spirit, and it is beamed upon your mind. So as you are reading the Bible or you are hearing the word of God, you have a picture in your mind of what God was showing to the person who was writing the book at the time he was writing it. It is first-hand knowledge, not second-hand. If anybody is preaching to you, it's second-hand. He said something. But when you go back to look at what he said on your own, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's no longer he said, it's now God said to me. You cannot operate with second-hand knowledge. We need revelation knowledge. It's a need. And that's why it's so important that we understand that. So it's illumination that comes into our hearts. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. So that we can... 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Thank you. For God... I can't hear you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? Where? In our hearts. To give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. So guess what? If you are looking at the hand of Jesus Christ, you won't see light. Motive. Motive. The light is in the face. It's in the face. I want to be like you. I want to become more like you. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Help me. Have mercy on me. And then he shines light. And then Bible says, the man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. And the boldness of his face shall be changed. Because he now sees it. That's the light Moses had when he came down from the mountain. He was shining. He was shining so much. They couldn't even see his face. There was light. He now went and put a veil. And that same veil is a problem because now the Holy Spirit has to remove that veil. Brethren, anytime you read the word of God, there's a veil on it. Anytime you hear the word of God, there's a veil on it. You have to put your heart in the right place to allow God. The Bible says that veil is removed by the Spirit. And when it's now removed, you now begin to interact with God face to face. As you are reading the word of God is reading you. As you are reading the word of God, you are seeing yourself in a mirror and seeing the things you need to correct. That is Bible reading. It's not a religious observance. I mean, it starts as that, but as a duty. But then it progresses. Revelation knowledge. That's what God is talking about. And what it does is that it inspires and motivates us to do what God said. Now, Pastor has always taught us this. Revelation is what? Continuous and progressive. You don't just get it one day and then that's it. You have to keep getting it from now until you become like Jesus and beyond. Amen. So we need revelation. There's no stop to it. You know, and that's why your attitude always has to be right. We have to keep growing and keep humming ourselves so that we can always keep receiving light from God. Amen. So with revelation, we are not afraid to be peculiar. Amen. Yes. With revelation, we don't mind offending people to please God. If you are still afraid of how people will think, you have not seen it firsthand. When you see it firsthand, the Bible says, I will tell you who you should fear. Fear the one that after he has killed the body, he will put it in hell. It's revelation. It makes us depart from evil. When you see it and you understand it, it makes us depart from it. It was revelation David had that Goliath was uncircumcised. 1 Samuel 17:38. He was uncircumcised, and because of that, he was a gunner. There was nowhere he was going to stand and defy the armies of the living God. That revelation made David run towards Goliath. Brethren, with revelation, you will face your problems and overcome them. The one everybody is afraid of and say they cannot do it, you will come and run towards it and you will achieve it. Why? Because you have revelation. You are seeing light from God illuminating and superimposed upon physical events that you are seeing. So you are not operating based on physical things you are seeing. You are operating based on what God is telling you. The picture God is showing you. Abraham was feeling bad. God had blessed him. He was feeling bad, you know, and that you have not given me a son. When God said, look up, and I will make your descendants as the stars of the sky if you can count them. It was a revelation. Abraham was settled. Anytime he wants to remember. Hallelujah. We also now need to look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Now is the time to look up. Stop looking at things around you. Look up at the things where Christ is seated. The blood of Jesus, the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the angels of God. You are an overcomer. All that together, plus a high priest making intercession. You cannot fail. God puts you here to shine in the darkness. The darkness is not going to consume you. You are going to push it back. That's the will of God. But it takes revelation. You must be seeing what God is seeing. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to the king. Why? Because they had revelation. And they told him, he said, God's plan is good enough for us, sir. That we have no plan B. Because when he was throwing the fire, he told them, are you sure? He said, we are not careful to answer you. We are going to go this way. And if it doesn't save us, this is the way we are going to go. It's revelation. You can't say it because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said it. You must say it because God has revealed to you inside. And that's how it is. So revelation is indispensable. You're not going anywhere without it. Our inheritance is by revelation. Bible says, talk about the inheritance of saints in light. So it's light. It's light. Now, what are we talking about? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. This is the revelation God wants us to have. When you get this revelation, you become self-driven as a Christian. with fathers to show you what's the next thing. But nobody's coming to beg you to pray. Nobody's asking you to wake up in the morning. Nobody's asking you to respond to the Holy Spirit. You start running by yourself. Let's read together. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is to see what it is, and wisdom is to the know-how of how to do it. They're not the same. This is the ministry of the apostle and the prophet. And when you are under apostles and prophets and submitted to them, it is then that same light will flow in your life. Amen. So that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him to show us three things. How many things? Three things. What are the three things? Number one. Next verse. Lord have mercy. The hope of his calling. No. Yeah. Ephesians 1 verse 18. Thank you. Ephesians 1 is behind me. All right. Thank you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know three things. What? The hope of his calling, one, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, two, three. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his word. Mighty power. It's mighty power that gives revelation. It's resurrection power that gives us revelation. That power that raised up Jesus from the dead is the same power that comes into our hearts to illuminate our understanding. And it gives us three things. The hope of our calling. You can put it this way. Who we are in Christ. It lets you know who you are in Christ. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Your status has changed. You are not the way you used to see yourself. God has done, yeah, he has made you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have now left the earth and you are now in faith. You are sitting with Christ in heavenly places. You are physically on earth, but spiritually you are there. Your position changed from earth to heaven. So now you are above Satan. Hallelujah. And you can dominate him. So give God a clap of. Isn't God wonderful? That is a fantastic. I won't say Pastor doesn't like fantastic. It's a wonderful plan. It is beyond comparison. That's the first thing. The hope of his calling. Who you are. That hope. What are you called to be? We are called to be like Christ. That's the hope of our calling. Our hope is not to become apostles. Our hope is not to become pastor or doctor or president. That's not our hope. Our hope is to become like Christ and then use that being like Christ to become an apostle, to become a doctor, to do whatever God has asked you to do. That's the key. It's very important to understand because, you know, if you don't have that, you will be moved by things left and right. You will not be secure in the love of God. There will always be something inside telling you you are settling for less than you should settle for. All right? The next thing is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. It begins to let you see what you have available to you in Christ. And that what you have is superior to what the world has. Very important that you understand. Otherwise, you'll be feeling sorry for yourself. It was revelation that made Paul say, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. It's a two-edged life, brethren. There's one we cannot see and there's one that we see. If you follow Jesus, you get a win-win. If you follow the world, you will lose the eternal one. But I said, what shall he profit a man? And should gain the whole world and lose what? His soul. So God is so wise, he makes you gain your soul and then gives you the whole world. Hallelujah. Give him a clap of it. That's what God does. Literally. But we don't know what we should be yet until we become sons of God. The real you is yet to manifest. This you is the Jesus. No, we are waiting for the manifestation of the Christ. Not it was Jesus Christ, Laolu Christ, Professor Olokpade Christ, Pastor William Christ. But they're going to one day we're going to see Christ William, Christ Rhoda. That's the way it's going to be.
It will change. The Christ will take over. That's the real you. That's what we're living for. And that's what revelation is. And then finally, what we can do. The exceeding greatness of his power. It is that power that will bring in the wealth. That will make them bow. And say, surely, I mean, we have seen rich people. But surely, God is in thee. For the world to bow, it must be special. They have not seen anything yet. So we hold on to that revelation and keep working on it because it's progressive. Amen? All right. So how do we walk in revelation? It's very important. That attitude is very important. That attitude of the fear of God. That attitude of willingness to please God, to do the will of God. That's the first thing. And then, of course, we pray Pauline prayers. There are prayers that, this is an example of one of the Pauline prayers. They're in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That you have, the fact that you are born again doesn't mean you automatically get revelation. You have to be someone who prays these prayers regularly. We are admonished to pray them in this house, to pray them every week. No, you pray them every week so that, you know, there's a continuous flow. You know, you come through the typology of the Old Testament. You come through the brazen lava into the God's presence. And then you come to the candlestick. You know, and then that's when you begin to pray those prayers. And then you begin to eat of the shoe bread. So when you eat of the shoe bread, you now begin to get light. All right. So that's how it operates. So, and then of course, we have to pray in the spirit. You know, pray in tongues and read the word of God on a regular basis. And this is what set Paul apart. And God gave him 2/3 of the New Testament to pen down. It's revelation knowledge. Because Paul could understand things that, you know, God, there was no other way to say it except by revelation. God had to show him. And know. So revelation is key, all right? And Paul used himself as an example to the Galatian brethren to show that without revelation knowledge, we wind up like the Pharisees many times. We are going against God's purpose, but we think we are doing God's purpose. But you're actually going against God. Because he was going against God's purpose. So he said, you know how I used to do. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 1. Say, you know how I used to do? I used to persecute the church. You know, all that. You know, and he said, I profited. I profited in the Jews' religion. So it was no longer his religion. When you take out revelation, what you have is religion. It's religion. It takes revelation to make it Christianity. It's a way of life. You know, it's a way of life, a way of seeing, a way of behaving, a way of... Right, then leave it there, 14. So he profited and used it above men of my equals. And many times you think that you are making progress. For example, those that we were talking about, the corrupted prosperity gospel, they think they are making progress. So you have cars, 2 cars, 3 cars, this house, that house, you know, and you're thinking that you're making progress. That's not the index of progress. The indices of progress are internal, primarily. Then you can then add those things. No, it's very important, you know, that you understand that. God is not saying that don't, but no, the devil can duplicate prosperity. He can duplicate cars. He can duplicate houses. And he can give it when you don't deserve it as a distraction. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So it's important. So you don't use that. What you use, no matter whatever God has given you, you always make sure it does not take you away. It drives you toward God and makes you seek God more so that your will becomes more submitted to the will of God. That's humility. Your mind more illuminated. That's revelation. And then your emotions are controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you know they're growing. And then, of course, anything else that God has to us. Amen. Right. So we move to verse 15 today. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So, verse 15 and 16, let's read it together. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, next verse, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Wow. The Apostle Paul is the, like Pastor has taught us so many times, it's important to say it again, give honor to the fathers. You know, Paul is the pattern disciple. John is the perfect disciple. And Jesus is the pattern son. You have to follow Paul to get to John, to get to Jesus.
That's why God set them there. So he's telling us that his calling into the ministry was by the will of God. He says, Father, who called me? Go back to verse 15. When he pleased God. So God is the initiator. He's the one doing the calling. By revelation, not by Paul's desire. To separate me. So God was the one that told Paul, you know what? I've already separated you from your mother's womb. Okay? And called you by my grace. Anytime there is a calling, there is always a release of grace. Amen? There's always a release of grace. If you don't, that grace is what gives you, like they say, you know, the unction to function. All that, okay? But it's what gives you the wisdom, the courage, the power to stand in that office and do what God asks you to do and say what God asks you to say. But you must understand that before you get there, you know, there's some other things that we're going to be looking at. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 10. Verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1, I beg your pardon. Chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. We see the same thing, God appearing to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, next verse. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Every one of us, before we were born, have been foreknown in the heart of God. You are not an accident. You are a very deliberate, intentional creation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they've mapped out a plan and a course. And they have decreed where you will go, when the blessings will be added, how you will grow. Everything is not, but you know, they have to let you know. That's the revelation. You have to come and see it. It's not only Paul and Jeremiah. It's all of us. All of us were foreknown in our mother's womb before we were allowed to come out. Amen. And in Jeremiah's case, he's sanctified in a prophet. Look at the next verse. Okay? And then he said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. He was seeing himself below where God put him. Many times we do that. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We see ourselves lower. In Paul's case, he saw himself higher. So God knocked him off his horse and brought him down. In Jeremiah's case, he saw himself lower. There are valleys and there are mountains. But God is in the business of pulling down the mountains and raising the valleys. So that you can begin to see yourself the way God sees. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's start from verse 1. Quickly, Isaiah 40. Comfort ye! God wants to comfort and encourage us today. Comfort ye, my people, saith the God. Next verse. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, born again Christians, the place of peace. Amen. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned, for she had received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Next verse. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You must prepare a way for God to come in our soul and in our body. That's what he's saying. We must prepare a way. That way is the way of love. It's the highway of love. It's the more excellent way that Pastor was talking to us about last week. It's the same thing. Next verse. Thank you. Every valley of inferiority and low self-esteem shall be what? Exalted by revelation. And every mountain and hill shall be made low by what? The fear of God. That you stay in your right position. We're going to look at that. He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecutest. And then he bowed his head. Every crooked place of lack of knowledge, God is going to straighten it. And every rough place of unbelief, God will smoothen it. Look at the end result. That's where we're going. Verse 5. And what? I can't hear you. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God's mouth, everything God's mouth has said about you is going to be fulfilled. As long as you cooperate with God. Amen? That's what God is saying. Okay? So it's important to understand that. So, you know, that we must see ourselves the way God wants, how God wants us to see ourselves. And that thing begins with your motive. Your motive. As you begin to align your motive with the will of God, light begins to flow into your heart. Amen. That's the will of God. Many leaders in the church today call themselves. They call themselves into ministry. Or they are called by men. Yes, and that's why we have the problem we have. So there's no grace. Because only God can give grace. You can't force his hand. And when there's no grace, it's no wonder you can see the corruption that is going on. The law of sin and death will reign. Because the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, through the grace that has appeared, will not operate. Because you put yourself in that level. There is one grace to be a born again Christian. There's another grace to stand in ministry. They are not the same. That's why the Bible says, be not many teachers. It's a higher standard. And so if you go and ask for the higher one, you are doing A level, you haven't passed O level. What's going to happen? We can already see your grades. We don't have to be a prophet. You can prophesy and see that this is not going to it's not going to end well. That's not the will of God. The will of God is for us to ensure that we are called by God. And because these leaders refuse to live at the standard God's word has set, because in essence, they really don't qualify to be called by God. So they call themselves. And when they call themselves, there is no grace to back it. So the flesh overcomes the spirit. And that's what we see. We see compromise. We see corruption. We see a wrong standard, you know. And, you know, we see the name of God being blasphemed, you know. But all that is going to stop. God is correcting it as we speak. And giving people job and giving people the opportunity to repent, you know, while it is yet now. Because a time will come when judgment is going to fall. And not one we escape. We are praying for judgment on the politicians. But remember that judgment must begin at the house of God. It is the corruption in the church that has flowed into the nation. So we must renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. And refuse to walk in craftiness. And refuse to handle the word of God deceitfully. It is that when we repent and that purity comes back into the world. Purity comes back into the church. It is from the church that the purity will flow into the nation. That's how it's going to be. So if you're talking about judgment, there's judgment everywhere. Religious pharaohs, political pharaohs, economic pharaohs. So as you are looking at the political pharaohs, because they are more visible. They're more visible. But the truth is that there are religious pharaohs that are sourcing them. The whore and the beast. The whore and the beast. They work together in the book of Revelation. No, so you know, the whore is the apostate church. And she's the one that is working in collusion with the beast. The beast is the political system. Okay? So this is the will of God. For us to understand that God wants us to get it right from bottom up. What is the system? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Right, let's read together. Who has saved us? I didn't hear you. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Amen. Grace is given for a purpose, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. So this is what God did. Every human being that God has allowed to come into the earth, God has had a plan, depending on their dispensation, depending on when they lived. God has a plan to give them the best that was available in their dispensation. And he made available grace for them to get it. And then he comes knocking on the door of our hearts, speaking to us in our conscience. And when you respond and turn to God to accept what God said, which is humility, the grace flows into your life. Amen. And that's how we got born again. The people that were before they got born again, so they walked with God. We know that people walk with God. But they know Abraham walked with God. You know, we know Moses walked with God. So this God comes, it's all in the heart, you see. And it's in that heart that we get secure and established in the love of God. When you understand that God loves you, you are not an accident. You stop listening to what people say and start focusing on what God said. God is not going to shut the people up. You have to choose what you're going to believe. You have to choose what you're going to see. The Bible says Abraham was looking at his body every day, was dead. The Bible says he hoped against hope. You choose your picture. Choose your picture. I refuse to look at negative. Be realistic. I will only be realistic after I have looked at what the Bible says. After I have looked at what God has said about me. Then I now look back from the vantage point of revelation to what the word circumstances is saying. That's the way you can look at Nigeria. That's the way to look at Nigeria. Some people are dead and they're still walking. God has I have numbered he's found him wanting. Yes. Bible says, mighty men without number, break them in pieces, take them away with the whirlwind. But they're going around all over the place. Like David, you must understand. And then let it drive you to prayer. You run like David in the place of intercession, and you knock them stone. The stone of love. Yeah. Yes. You run in the place of prayer. You run at them because you understand, because they are who God says they are. They're not who they say they are. You are not who you say you are. You are who God says you are. God has the final say. We sing it now. If God says there's water in the rock, guess what? There's water in the rock. If there's a sea before you and God says, relax, there's an expressway through that. There is an expressway through the sea. It's God. You have to understand. No, we have made him too small in our eyes. He's God of all the universe. But my pastor always beautifully says, he has not undergone therapy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The question is, are you seeing him the way he is? That's what God is saying this morning. We need to see him the way he is. That's what God is saying. So we see from the bottom up that God has called us by his grace. Amen. So that we can intelligently cooperate with him. That's how he called us. To fulfill his purpose by using the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and develop that godly character so that we are well-pleasing unto God. Amen. And when we are well-pleasing unto God, we become messengers of his glory. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. This, I believe, is something that will take away this title-chasing mentality. Because when somebody chases titles, he tells that there's a void in there. Something is missing. It's revelation. You're trying to cover a hole, and then you build a mound on top. It's not level now. It's not level. If you are trying to do it with your own means, you have to use what God said you should use. Amen. You have to understand who you are. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. No, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's say it together. Whereunto he has called you by our gospel. This is the full gospel, not the perverted gospel. By our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That other gospel is promising you prosperity, and then you make heaven. You make heaven. That's not what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22. He said that you're making heaven is your name in the book of life. What about the holy city? It's not there. What about the things that are written in this book? When the Bible says that greater works than this shall you do. No, because I go to my Father. How is that going to be fulfilled? How is Deuteronomy 28 going to be fulfilled? Verse 1 to 14. They have to be fulfilled. But Bible says, all men shall see, they shall be afraid of you. Is that going to be fulfilled? Yeah, making heaven. Is that going to fulfill that? It's a perverted gospel. It's a perverted gospel. This is the gospel. He called us to the obtaining of the glory. That is our singular purpose. To grow up in Christ in all things until we obtain the glory. Then we go and fulfill 2 Corinthians 8:23. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 8:23. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's read together. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, and our brethren, no name. Shakanebara. Our brethren, no name, be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. They are carrying glory to the churches. That's the destiny. I'd rather be a messenger of the glory than an apostle that carries no glory. Clouds without rain, they exist. John the Baptist was among men. He was the greatest of all prophets, but he walked in the spirit of Elijah and did not carry the power of Elijah. Whereas the Bible says, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Take your pick. A name among men or a name with God. Your godly identity should transcend everything you are on earth. You imprint it on who you are. And that's how you do it in your character. You imprint it in your character. So that, you know, when you go through situations, people in the world will look at you and say, wow, you are different. Bible says, I'm able to abase and abound. You go through situations and people wonder, how did you do that? How did you do this? I've seen people go through this, you know, but the way you do your own. Jesus had times when he had need. But when he had the need at one time to pay tax, he asked them to go and catch a fish. That will shock everybody. Wow. There is more where that came from. It's coming from the heavenly storehouse. Riches in glory. That's why we should. As I tell you, brethren, I speak to myself. You have to keep reminding yourself what picture you're looking at. The heavenly picture or the earthly one. And superimpose like Father Abraham did. No, not staggering in faith. Superimpose the heavenly picture on the earthly picture so it comes to pass. That's the will of God. Amen? That's what God wants for us. Okay, so we see. Let's move to verse 16. So he said, when it pleased God to reveal, we're going back to Galatians, to reveal his son in me. So this is, God wants to reveal. He's not talking about born again. He's talking about growing up into maturity. That's what he's talking about. He cannot be preaching to people as a baby Christian. He has to be preaching to people as somebody with a certain level of maturity. Children, unto us a child is born, but unto us sons are given. So the sonship is talking about a higher level of maturity. You know, that. So God revealed. So God had... Apostle Paul had changed from Saul to Paul, born again. Then he got to a point, being faithful, when you are faithful with that grace, as God wants us to be, and then in God's sovereignty, if it's in line with his will, then God called him to next step. You have been faithful in step one, let's go to step two. Now I want you to be a minister. And I want you to preach me, because immediately God told him, he kept his mouth shut. That's something, brethren, we all have to learn. We must learn. When God talks to us, we must learn to keep our... Don't tell your dream to your brethren. Joseph. That's what he did. You know, was he blabbed his mouth too early. There was a time to tell them. No doubt. But it wasn't that time. You know, but God used it. But God may not be always able to use it. That's why it's important to, first of all, like Apostle Paul said, separate yourself. Because when God calls you, there's a time of preparation. It's time of preparation. And we know that because we've been taught in this house from the Bible and by Revelation that, you know, there's three aspects of our lives. There's a time of preparation, there's a time of revelation, and there's a time of manifestation. Amen. All right? A manifestation is carrying the glory. That really is it. No, preparation, revelation, man. So preparation is about your natural education and getting you ready and giving all the basic knowledge that you need, the basic skill sets that you need, and all that, and equipping you. The revelation is the understanding, you know, of who you are in Christ and what you have to do in Christ and what he has provided to make that possible. What we saw earlier in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, like we said, is progressive for each level. All right? And when you get that revelation, then you now begin to move into the stage of manifestation. So we saw that for Moses, 0 to 40 years was preparation. The Bible says he was mighty in word and deed, you know, learned in all the art of the Egyptians. And then we see 40 to 80, where he went out after he had killed an Egyptian, you know, inadvertently. He went out, you know, into the wilderness for 40 years, where God broke his pride, you know, and then appeared to him at the end of that 40 years in the burning bush. And that burning bush was now another call to now go out and go on. So we have preparation, revelation, and manifestation. Okay, so we see that. The same thing, our Lord Jesus Christ, we see 0 to 12 years was preparation. We see 12 to 30 was revelation. Because when from 12 he began to get revelation, but it's progressive, you see. So what he was getting at 12 was, could not compare to what he was getting when he was 18, when he was 25, okay? But manifestation did not start until 30, okay? So we see those stages. Now, God's will for us is to multiplex, is to make sure that while preparation is going on as you are in school, you are also getting revelation. Amen. So you are hastening the time. God doesn't have 40 years to let you go preparation and then come back. Nope. It's to compress it. No, so superimpose one upon the other by the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we see that. You know, and in Paul's case here, Paul had been trained as a lawyer already. So preparation was already in place. But here he was going about, you know, trying to do the work of God, you know, with his own understanding. And the way that people above him had trained him. That was what was happening. You know, he was doing it the way they had trained him, you know. And then God now, with revelation, knocked him off his horse. Let's look at Acts 26. And look at, this is the time for all of us. Everybody who's born again. Acts chapter 26, verse 14 to 18, quickly. Let's read together. So we know the story, a bright light shone, and they all fell off their horses. Okay? They were traveling to go and arrest Christians. So on the way, God met them. Amen. All right? God's going to meet some people on the way. another matter for another day. Let's leave that. And when we were all falling to the earth, I had a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Next verse. That is, it is hard to go against the will of God for your life. It is easier for you to submit to the will of God. You will only fall short. You cannot prove God wrong. God is the manufacturer. Can something that was manufactured turn around and say, you know what? The manufacturer doesn't know anything. I will change this wire and reconnect it this way. The current is supposed to be AC. I'll make it DC. What's going to happen? It will stop functioning. And it will not be able to fulfill its purpose or its use. So, brethren, is important. All right? Next verse. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest. But rise. I'm following you. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for what? This. Every time God does anything, there is a purpose. God is not a purposeless kind of person. That's why he says beauty is vain. Favor is deceitful. But if you follow the fear of God, you will fulfill purpose. It's very important to understand that. So, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things that thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. Two things. Everybody say, minister, witness. We're all witnesses. We're all witnesses. The Bible says that you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit, that you may be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We're all witnesses. We're supposed to witness what? The love of God to our community. The love of God and the power of God to our generation. But on top of that, I make you a minister. That's why you can see that it wasn't just... So when you are seeking titles, you know, and thinking that, you know what, it's like you go into a supermarket and they say there's pastor, they say there's evangelist, they say there's apostle. Ah, I like that one. That's the one I like. Just pick it. That's the one I like. I take that. No. No, if you understand that if you stay in being a witness and you are faithful in that witness, you will carry the glory. And that's the purpose. Now, in that carrying the glory, if it pleases God to make you a minister, all well and good. But don't mistake the title with men for the glory with God. The glory comes from God. The title comes from men. It is men that acknowledge the title. God doesn't acknowledge any title you put on yourself. He calls you by your first name. He will call us by, is it not? He will call you by your first name. He's going to call you Apostle. Yeah, thank you. He says, Saul. By your first name. He said by your first name. But I want you to witness those things. So let's be faithful as witnesses. Amen. In your office, be a witness. In your school, be a witness. In your workplace, be a witness. When you're doing a business deal, be a witness. Let the love of God, the loving kindness, the righteousness, and the justice of God be evident in everything you do. You are on course for the glory. So when you are secure in that, you see people doing that, then it won't affect you because you have the real deal. When you have the original, you can tell the fake. It's when you don't have anything, they're looking and saying, I want that lollipop. Lord, have mercy on us. Next verse. Thank you. Next verse. Verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. God's going to deliver us from the foes within and the foes without. He delivered Paul. He will deliver us. Amen. But this is Paul's calling. So I've called you. But you know, if you put yourself in a ministry, in the in level of minister, when God didn't put you there, you have more foes. And you need more deliverance. And the grace is not there. That's why we shouldn't exalt ourselves above our measure. Amen. Next verse. Delivering them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Morning, mommy. You're welcome. Amen. All right. So we see the word of God going on. That we see that he was telling them, God, I want you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. You cannot turn people from darkness if you yourself don't have light. It's important. You must have light. You must have power. That's what he's talking about. The power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness and you save them and give them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. This is the revelation Paul got. When he got the revelation, he went up to Arabia for 14 years and went to process it. What do you mean by processing? Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. As we begin to round up. When did the time go? 1 John 2:14. Amen. Amen. 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. What's he saying there? We're talking about there are different stages of spiritual growth. You have little child, you have young man, you have spiritual father. And of course, the Bible says, I speak unto you as babes in Christ. So we have baby. From baby to little child takes you about 7 years to grow. From little child to young man takes you about 7 years. And from young man to spiritual father takes another 7 years. Where do you get that from? We get that from the story of Joseph. We see Joseph at 17 was when he got his dream. Okay, and he spoke to his brethren, you know, and all that. They sold him into slavery. So we see that that was from 0 to 17 was a preparation. And when he got that dream, the revelations phase began. And he finished that. He came out of prison at 30, but the manifestation did not begin until 7 years of famine had ended. So it must have been in the 8th year when this famine began that he now began to manifest that glory. So we see, because that was the wisdom that God had given him, that they will put aside the food in the 7 years of plenty, and in 7 years of famine, they will now begin to open the storehouses. So from 17 to 38 is 21 years. So you that's where you get. So brethren, we see that when Paul went up to Arabia for 14 years, he was growing spiritually. He was growing spiritually. You have to, the Bible says, let this first be proved. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. When God calls us to an office, he first of all proves you. There must be things that you must pass. There are conditions that you must be able to tick, 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 tick. Husband of one wife, you know, holds the mystery of the gospel in a pure heart with a good conscience. You must have those things, you know, and that's what Paul was doing. He was guaranteeing himself worthy of the high calling to which God had called him. So, and it's not men that are going to do that. It is God. Now, when God had done that, then he now went and came and saw Apostle Peter, you know, for 2 weeks, and he went back, you know, and all that. And what we see here is that it takes a certain level of maturity to operate in the body of Christ as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God has called you, wait. Keep praying. Identify true spiritual fathers, you know, that you can drink from. Copy the example until God releases you. The God that called you will release you. You don't have to leave before time. Joshua did not leave Moses. Elisha did not leave Elijah. This is the pattern that you have in the Bible. You know, you also, if you stay under the covering of apostolic fathers, you will ultimately carry the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads to pray. God is talking to us today to start seeing ourselves the way he sees us, and start seeing people around us the way his light is shining in our heart. It's time to know no man after the flesh. Revelation knowledge. So we can grow up to become messengers of the glory. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to Let us raise up that right hand to God and put our left hand on our hearts. Let's pray together. We pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. I confess my sins where I have not walked in revelation knowledge with you, with those in authority, and with those that are around me. I repent. I ask for mercy. I renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, cunning craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully. And I ask that you will have mercy on me. Remove every obstacle in my sight. I lift up my head because my redemption draweth nigh. And I look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the light of the knowledge of the glory of God will shine in my heart, helping me to live a supernaturally consecrated godly life unto you, growing in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with you and with all men. I receive mercy to be faithful, grace to be fruitful, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Menka popa popo pokote odoma popo popo pokotobela robo popo kotere jekana manom ropekenan. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want this power of God already in the air under the covering of our fathers, if you need healing, just under your breath right there, just talk to the Lord and we'll pray with you. That power is there. It's by faith. You receive it by faith. Father, we thank you for everyone that is here, that is in need of healing, touching their body. Oh Lord, their mind focused on the particular need that they have. In the name of Jesus, under the authority of said spiritual fathers, every spirit of infirmity that is oppressing their soul and body, worry, distraction, we bind you. I cast you out. I destroy your works. I loose now the power of God that is in the air to go forth into their members to effect a healing and a cure in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we remove, Lord, worry and anxiety, and we establish peace that passes all understanding, keeping their hearts and their minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we